Sky visited the saboteur. The chimeric prisoner lay on exactly the same kind of bed as his father, attended by machines, but there the similarities ended. The machines were observing the man, but he was strong enough not to need their direct assistance. Too strong, in fact. Even after they had dug a magazine load of slugs out of him, he was attached to the bed with plastic bonds, a broad hoop across his waist and legs, two smaller hoops anchoring his upper arms. He could move one forearm enough to touch his face, while the other arm, of course, had ended only in the weapon he had used to stab Titus. Even the weapon was gone now, the cyborg's forearm ending in a neatly sewn stump. They had searched him for other kinds of weapon, but he carried no other concealed devices, except for the implants his masters had used to shape him to their goals. In a way, the faction that had sent the infiltrator had been spectacularly unimaginative, Sky thought. They had placed too much emphasis on him being able to sabotage the ship, when a nice, easily transferred virus would have been just as effective. It might not have directly harmed the sleepers, but their chances of making it anywhere without a living crew would have been vanishingly small. Which was not to say that the chimeric might not still have its uses. It was strange, infinitely so, to know that one was suddenly immortal. Sky did not concern himself with trifling matters of definition. It was true enough that he was not invulnerable, but with care and forethought he could minimize the risks to himself. He took a step back from the killer's bed. They thought they had the better of the saboteur, but one could never be entirely sure. Even though the monitors said the man was in a sleep at least as deep as his father's, it paid not to take chances. They were engineered to deceive these things. They could do inhuman tricks with their heart rate and neural activity. That one unbound forearm could have grabbed Sky by the throat and squeezed him until he died, or pulled him so close that the man could have eaten his face off. Sky found a medical kit on the wall. He flipped it open, studied the neatly racked implements inside, and then pulled out a scalpel, glistening with blue sterility in the room's subdued lighting. He turned it this way and that, admiring the way the blade vanished as he turned it edge on. It was a fine weapon, he thought, a thing of excellence. With it, he moved towards the saboteur. Chapter 16. "He's coming round," a voice said, crystallizing my sluggish thoughts towards consciousness. One of the things you learned as a soldier, at least on Sky's Edge, was that not everyone who shot you necessarily wanted to kill you. At least, not immediately. There were reasons for this, not all of them to do with the usual mechanics of hostage-taking. Memories could be trawled from captured soldiers without the crudities of torture. All it required was the kind of neural imaging technology which Ultras could supply, at a price, and for there to be something worth learning in the first place. Intelligence, in other words, the kind of operational knowledge which soldiers must know if they are to have any value at all. But it had never happened to me. I had been shot at and hit, but on all the occasions when it happened, no one had been intending that I live, for even the relatively short length of time that it would take to winnow my memories. I had never been captured by the enemy, and so had never had the dubious pleasure of waking to find myself in anything other than safe hands. Now, though, I was learning exactly how it felt. "Mr. Mirabelle, are you awake?" Someone wiped something soft and cold across my face. I opened my eyes and squinted against light, which was painfully bright after my period of unconsciousness. "Where am I?"